Today, you see the message there. Go back to that first slide, if you would, Mike. Truth, God, give me the answer. And that's the deal. Truth, give me the answer. You saw the dramatic part of it with our teenagers here, giving the idea of where that's going to come out of the book of Acts chapter 16. So you're welcome to go ahead and turn there. But you see the look on the girl's face. There's a look of desperation, honestly. She's struggling. And she says, look, I just need some answers. Truth. I want the real, just don't play games. Give me the truth. Tell me exactly the way it is. And today I think we've tried to water down the gospel. I think we've tried to gloss it over. I think we've tried to market it, make it appealing. When really and truly people don't need the sales pitch, what they need is a message. Just give me the answer is the truth. So if you have your Bibles open there with me, please, the book of Acts chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 16. There's a good bit of reading here, so just hang on if you would. But to give you the background of the story, what's happening here. Verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, where we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." So she's telling the truth here, by the way. And she kept this up for many days. She was a pest. She began to follow them, and wherever they go, they couldn't really do ministry at this point. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." Just as a small caveat there, wouldn't you say that that's probably what we should be doing as well? We should be having our city, our community, our metroplex in an uproar. Christian people ought to stand up enough that they will recognize who we are and what we're doing, what we're standing for. Not necessarily to be militant, but just almost there. In the country language, you would call that just pert near there. Okay, you get that? So these men are Jews and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. Now, if you went back in the first part of Acts chapter 16, you'll know that God called him to Macedonia. That was called the famous Macedonian call. He's moving from a Jewish ministry over now to a Gentile ministry. Verse 22 said, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks." And then verse about 25, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken." Elvis had nothing on this. This was the first jailhouse rock right here. "And at once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?'" And here's the answer. Remember the title? Truth. Just give me the answer. Here's the answer. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Now the story goes on a little bit beyond that, but plenty of reading here. Let me give you just kind of a quick overview, kind of an outline, if you would, of this particular section we just read. First of all, verses 16 through 24, the slave girl is delivered from the evil spirit. She's delivered. He has dealt with things. He's heard her mention that she's not saying anything incorrect. She's telling that they're telling how to be saved. But now the slave girl is delivered from the evil spirit. At this, Paul and Silas were accused and thrown into jail. I want you to take note of this, where it says these men or Jews are throwing our city into an uproar. That's what we should be about, by the way. We should be advocating customs unlawful for the Romans. We should be able to say, you know what, this is what thus saith the Lord. This is what we should be doing. I want you to see in verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. This crowd had nothing to do with these people. They didn't know what was going on with this girl. But this crowd mentality began to generate energy. And they just kind of went crazy. And said, there they ordered, the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. They severely flogged them, thrown them in the jail. They told the guard, make sure these guys don't get out. So they put them in the inner side of the jail, locking them down as tight as they could. That's when we find them in verse 25, they're in there praying and they're singing some hymns. At that point, something happens. Something is unique about this man, Paul and Silas, these men. They're singing. Maybe they're singing Victory in Jesus and Amazing Grace. Actually, we know they were written much later, but in their day, whatever their hymns would have been, whatever their song would have been, they're singing, they're praying. Maybe they're praying for those around. This is a very difficult time. They've done nothing wrong but help people. But they are falsely accused, and now they are beaten, they are hurting, they're physically hurting, they're emotionally drained, and they're in the bottom of a jailhouse. But in the middle of all that, they're still looking toward God. They're sharing this. They're singing to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. I would assume also the jailer is listening to them. Then that's when the earthquake comes. You think, is that a real deal? Yeah. The earthquake would have come. The prison doors were open. Their stocks, the chains around them were loosened. And all of a sudden, this guy wakes up and he says, oh my gosh, they're gone. He's held responsible. And he's going to lose his life. So he figured, I'll just go ahead and take my life rather than lose it at the hands of my boss. And there's what happens. Paul shouted out. He said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And there he says, what, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The simple truth. The simple truth was told, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. The results of this truth is simply this. The jailer was saved, the family was saved, everyone got baptized. The jailer was changed within and offered some hospitality. Now, that's just the general overview. But let me give you the truth that gives the ideal truth. Give me an answer. Give me the answer of this. For the jailer. With me? For the jailer. First of all, number one. Possibly he could have lost his life for losing a prisoner. He was about to kill himself. Maybe you also know of somebody today who is down on life. This man would be. He had nothing to lose at the beginning. He's just a jailer. He's just working in the jail, doing what he's supposed to do. But now circumstances change, and he's down. I look around our community, and the more we hear is always negative news. It's not always good news. Something's negative in people's homes and their family and their job with their health. And what they need the answer. They don't need a glossed over version of religion. They don't need something where, you know, you just say the name Jesus and clap three times and it's all going to be okay. That doesn't work that way. And for some for too long, they have posed that, some shyster, some marketer in the name of religion. No, very simply. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I put in my note this, life is simply a mess. For some, life is empty. For some, their lives are like everyone else, but they're lost and going to hell. The second part of this, Paul showed him kindness. He showed him some kindness. We find down there, he heard the songs of faith. He heard them praying. Here's the deal. People today need to hear kindness and grace, not judgment. Are you with me? Now, that doesn't mean we gloss it over. You call sin what it is. If I go to the doctor and the doctor says, I need to run a check and see if you have cancer, don't gloss it over and say, oh, you look fine to me. Just go ahead. Be good. No, tell me the truth. Do I have a cancer? Do I have a disease? Tell me what it is so I can fix it. Paul showed kindness in this. He's been beaten. Perhaps this same jailer is the one who flogged him earlier. I don't know. You don't know. But he showed kindness. He said, don't harm yourself. He could have said, good on you, buddy. But he didn't. He could have said to Paul, to Silas, to the rest of them, guys, it's our moment. Get out of here while we can. Don't look back on this city. Shake the dust off your feet. But he said, don't harm yourself. Don't hurt yourself. He showed kindness. And today in our world, when we begin to share our faith, we don't need to knock on the door. Hi, my name's Ken. I'm from the church, and you're dying and going to go to hell. You know that, don't you? People don't need to hear that. That is the message. Without Jesus, that really is the message. But we can point it in such a way to say to them, listen, Christ is here to help you through life here on this earth, but also for eternal life beyond this earth. And the Bible says it's called being saved. That's a pretty simple kind of thing. When we say truth, give me the answer. Remember the picture of the girl that we started off with? She's desperate. She's looking for answers. There are people that you know today that possibly are at the edge of life. Possibly no one has shown them kindness. No one has shown them even the truth. Sometimes kindness is being truthful, not glossing it over. A third part of this. When this man cried out, what must I do to be saved? He cried out to them. Look at verse number 30. He then brought them out, maybe to the better light, maybe to a holding area. Sir, what must I do to be saved? How would he have known those words? Perhaps he'd heard those words being sung. Perhaps he'd heard Paul and Silas talking to the other prisoners. Perhaps he had already heard the message that even the woman, the girl that was possessed, had been sharing. He knew the right term. Sir, what must I do to be saved? May I say to you today that there's a lot of people in our community, in our world, they know the terminology. They're not completely ignorant or without knowledge of the things of God. Many have heard the story. They've either read it, they've heard it, they've seen it, they've gone to church as a little child. They know some of the terminology. Now they want to know the truth. Tell me what to do. 1, 2, 3. It's really simple. And for some of us, we try to make it too hard. So, well, you know, I need to know all about the Bible before I can share with somebody. No, you don't. You don't need to know all about the Bible. You know just enough to point them to Christ. You're on the journey as well as they will be on a journey. Maybe you're ahead of them. But that's important. When he cried out, what must I do to be saved? I don't believe he's crying out, what must I be saved from this circumstance? No, the prisoners are still there. All he has to do is put them back in the chains and everything would have been fine. He's not worried about the circumstance. He's worried about his soul. Let me show you the next one. They did not say, just keep the Ten Commandments, turn over a new leaf, try harder, give more money to the poor, go to church on special days. You know, and compare yourself to other folks because you're not worse than anyone else. These are the things they did not say. But if we're not careful, that's what the world says about religion. Well, just keep the Ten Commandments. Turn over a new leaf. Get a new start. Try a little bit harder. Give money to the poor. On special times, go to church. You'll make the preacher happy. You make your mama happy. The other one, the other lie is, well, you compare yourself to others. You'll even compare yourself to some church folks. Well, I live down the street from a guy, and he's got one of them church signs out in his yard, said, I love my church. And I know I'm a lot better than him. I don't holler at my kids that don't beat my wife, don't hang out all night long. Well, first of all, if that sign's in your yard and you act like that, please put your sign in the backyard, okay? But they'll compare. Paul didn't say to compare yourself. He simply told them how to be saved. And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Look at verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Now, just because he got saved doesn't mean everybody in the house is automatically saved. It doesn't work that way. But he would know, because when the man gets changed, when the man is saved, It will just overflow, and I promise you it will work down to the wife, to the children, and to others, and so many, many of the cases. Here it is. Believe, trust, repent, confess, ask. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is the word saved for some in this room today a foreign word? It may be. Saved means you are made right with God through Jesus Christ on the cross. You are saved. You are put in the position of a child of God now, and you belong to Him. How does that happen? You believe. You put your faith. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't hold it. I can't taste it or smell it. My senses will not get me there except my heart. Believe, trust, repent, turn from sin, turn from what I used to do. Confess, God, I'm a sinner. God, I've messed up. Now, I'm not telling God anything new. He's God, He knows all about it. The word confess means to agree, to finally agree. God, You know it. You've been on it a long time. I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner, and I'm sorry. And then ask. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What an important part of this. So this was for the jailer. Now perhaps you've heard a message similar to this in times gone by if you've been in church for any time at all. This is a well-read passage. The famous Philippian jailer being saved. Down on his luck. Could have lost his life. What a radical change. What we find in this is that the man, he takes the men to his home. He washes them up, cleans them up. What he ends up doing is he prepares a meal for them. In the process of all this, he and his wife and children, whoever's in his household, they're all saved and they're all now baptized right then and there. Did they have a horse trough outside, a creek or tank or whatever it was, but they were baptized right then and there. It wasn't a formal setting. It was just because they believed, they got baptized. But let me just share with you what happens for Paul and Silas. I said before, the other one was truth, give me the answer. Now this is truth, just give the answer. This is a different twist. It's a different look. Perhaps for some of us, we are negligent in sharing our heart and our faith. Maybe because we've gone through a down time. We have some bad stuff happening to us. Let me share some things here. Number one is this, Paul and Silas is in jail. It's a low point in their life. Their accusation against them was just a joke, really. But it was enough they got the crowd stirred up, that mentality. They were going to fuss, they were going to fight, they were going to have an argument, they were going to riot and protest over something. Didn't really know what was going on, but it was just enough to get everybody wound up. It seemed like everybody was against them. And you know what? Truthfully, it was. Paul had accepted the call to go to Macedonia. He tried to go this place, and this place at different areas. God said no. And finally, there was a vision of one said, come over to Macedonia. The first person saved on the other side there was Lydia, the seller of purple. Her and her entourage were saved. They were having a church service down by the creek side. They were God worshipers. They were learning about God. Paul gets there and shares with them who God really is through Jesus. So he's on foreign soil, foreign territory, as far as we're concerned. It's a low point in his life. Second part of this, they're just trying to serve God, and this happens. I put in my notes simply this, why me? Now remember, they are sharing their faith. They're singing, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But in this, something bad goes, something goes wrong. They say, why me? Maybe we're all guilty of that. Why me? Why me? Why did I do? And Paul didn't do anything wrong. He didn't deserve to be there outside of just preaching the gospel. We say the same thing. Where I'm getting at is, it's great for the Philippian jailer to be saved, but maybe we have forgot to look at the other side of the coin. Where Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They've been beaten. They're hurting. They're physically hurting. They're emotionally drained. Yet they're singing hymns and they're praying and they're sharing and they're telling the other prisoners about Christ. Enough so that the jailer would have heard the sermon. They're just trying to serve God. And this happens. Why me? And they could have said, you know what? We give up. I give up on God, give up on Jesus, give up on the church. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get over in the corner and I'm just going to be, you know, do my own little thing. But instead, he was faithful to the commitment. And they continued to share the gospel. They continued to share. Here it is, number three. They were singing. I put in my note, amazing grace and victory in Jesus. They knew that God was in control no matter what circumstances. Maybe they were looking for hope. Maybe that's what got them through that. We make a big thing about our church choir around here. I'm probably the biggest fan of the church choir. I promote it more than our music staff has. For some, it's a way of enjoyment, but for others, it's really a sense of blessing and ministry. Not only for those who are hearing, but those who are being a part of it. And these men were being a part of the small prison choir, if you call it. The fourth thing is this, they were willing to share and be bold in their faith. They could have been bitter. They could have let him kill himself. But they were willing to share and be bold. That's why God put them in prison to start with. It was their boldness. Was their sharing Christ. They could have been quiet. Could have let him kill himself. They would have been free. They could have left town. For sometimes we need to look down in our heart. Are we bold? Are we faithful to share? Are we faithful to do what we need to do? This weekend, Friday, I went to the Lowe's home store out here in Flower Mound. I bought some shelves to put up in my garage, my shop thing. And I go in and I'm lost. Their Lowe's doesn't look like the Lowe's in Louisville. It's a little bit backwards. So I have to ask directions. And boy, you know that really does something for a fella. And this girl comes up and she's very helpful. And I said, ma'am, I'm looking for these shelves. She said, oh, I know right where it's at. So instead of disappointing me, she walked right down there with me. And she went through this thing and she said, is this the kind you want? I said, yes, ma'am, that's it. She said, well, let me get somebody to load them for you. I said, well, that'd be great. I said, now, I've got this new floor on my thing and I don't want to scratch them. And then them little rubber thing. She said, I know right where those at. She went and got them. She said, is there anything else you need? I said, yes, ma'am, there is. She said, what's that? I said, tell me. I said, do you live in our community? She said, well, I live in Louisville. Like that was strange to me, you know. I said, great. Whereabouts do you live? And she gave me an area where she lived. I said, well, when you go to church, where do you go? She said, well, I don't go. I said, well, I've got a place for you to go. Let me tell you about the place that I want you to go. She said, well, you know, my mother and dad live around here on Marcus Street. I said, you live close to my church? You've not been there yet? Oh, my goodness. And she was going on, well, no, I've not. I said, where did you go to school? I said, did you go to Louisville High School? Yes, I did. What year did you graduate? She told me what year. I said, well, do you know my children? And she didn't, whatever, you know. Well, she's a little bit younger. And so I said, you got to go. So she said, let me pull the buggy to the front. She pulled the buggy up to the front, had these shelves on this thing and my little plastic rubber little deals. Pulled it to the front to the commercial checkout area so it'd be under the cover. It's kind of raining. A lady that she said, the other lady said, I know you. I said, is my picture at the post office or what, you know? And she said, oh, I know. She said, church. I said, oh, you're getting warmer. She said, north. I'm thinking she's going to say North View. North Gate. I said, oh, no. I said, North View. Oh, yes. She said, I've been there. I've heard you preach before. I attended with such and such family who used to come here before they moved off. I said, well, I've invited this girl to church with us. This woman said, you need to go hear that man preach. He will speak to your heart. I mean, I just stood back and let him go. Oh, that was good. But see, it all started with me on the aisle pulling, with a buggy full of shelves. I wasn't there in my church shirt. I wasn't there, you know, on duty. I'm just there being me. That's what I'm getting at. You need to be willing to share. No matter if you're having a pretty good day like I had today, or not necessarily a good day like I had yesterday afternoon when I came home and my air conditioner's out. And it was warm last night in my house. It's going to be even warmer tonight. My air conditioner man won't show up till tomorrow. I'm really thinking they have air conditioning in Branson's, what I'm really thinking. But that's beside the point. I'm not doing that. Let me finish it with this one right here. When you are down, when you feel ill, when you feel like you're going through bad times, we are still required to share the gospel. When we are down, when you feel ill, when you're going through bad times, we are still required. I put in my note, underlined it so I'd make sure I'd say it. We are required to share the gospel in Jesus Christ. When you're on the job, whether you're selling, buying, teaching, leading, serving, working hard, whatever you do, you're always looking for a way. See, I've never really done, I've done this sermon before, or similar sermon, okay? I don't redo them. I've done the same passage before. And I've always focused on the jailer. And maybe some of you in here, you're like the jailer. You need to be saved and saved today, right now. But I've overlooked Paul and Silas because they were in difficult circumstances and they still shared. If you're not careful, it becomes all about me, you. Get it? What's in it for me? And what's in it for you? Instead of us looking for others, looking for a way. They were down, beaten, hurt, and yet they were still sharing Jesus. Good stuff. Let me show you the very last slide, and you can see the results, for they speak for themselves. First of all, the jailer was saved, as well as his family. They were all baptized. There was joy. Jesus became real to him. The jailer was saved. That's results. Today, some of you in this room, you need to be saved. You've played the game long enough. You've got enough religion in your mind to think that you're okay. But if Jesus is not in your heart, you will go to hell. And I don't say that with a smile on my face. I say that with worry and fear. Because I fear somebody will walk out of this room today and you think you're all right because you've gone to church, you've tried to keep the Ten Commandments, you've given to the poor, you put money in the offering plate, you're not as bad as the fellow down the street. Bowed your head, confessed in your heart that Jesus is Lord and ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of sin. You're lost. You're without Jesus and you need to be saved. You can see the results of this story. The man was saved. When he got back home, he said, "Wife, let me tell you what happened to me. These are the fellows I brought from the prison." She said, "Oh my goodness. Let me tell you what happened to me. My life has changed. Boy, sit down here. Little girl, sit down here. Let me tell you what happened to your daddy." And they understood it, and perhaps Paul and Silas shared again the story. We don't know all that happened right there, but it was enough that they all got saved. They didn't get baptized first. They got saved first. Then they were all followed in baptism right then and there. It could have been in the family horse trough out back. Second thing of this thing, when you see the results, Paul and Silas were released from jail and treated to a homemade meal. Look at verse number 34. The jailer brought them to him to his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy. There's that word. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So in this are two results. One is the jailer gets saved, and but number two is that Paul and Silas are released from jail, but they are blessed. Even though they've been beat to pieces, they are blessed because now there's another one. Another one whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Another one whose the angels rejoiced that day because a man and his family were saved. They were baptized. They were believers now. Let me show you this last slide. Truth. Just give me the answer. Look in the girl's face again, would you? Perhaps you'll go by the mall this afternoon. You'll be out shopping somewhere. Maybe some of these students will go to school tomorrow. Students, watch me here. You with me? Maybe you'll go to school tomorrow. And you'll walk down the hallway, whatever school you attend, Louisville High, Marcus, Lake Dallas, Flower Mound, whatever school you're into, you may see a girl just like this, or a boy, a young man. And it may be somebody you've known from grade school, but they've changed. Things in their life has not gone good. And they're looking like my girl right here. Truth, just give me the answer. And students, you're just as compelled to tell the story as an adult. As believers, we're all required, not requested, but required to share the gospel. Because people are hurting, people are lost, people that are students in our high schools, in our middle schools, our grade schools, that will go to work with you, that will have retirement coffee with you, wherever, whatever age, from the youngest to the oldest. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." Today, I'm going to ask you to do this in a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand up in a moment. We're going to pray. Music will begin. And I always offer an invitation. I'm inviting you to do something as a result of what you've heard. For some, you would say, "Pastor, I don't even know you. But I know that I want Jesus in my heart. These people didn't know Paul and Silas either. This man didn't. But he heard him. You've heard me for the last 30 minutes. That's enough. That's all you need to know that you need Christ. And let me personally meet with you and pray with you to receive the Lord in your heart. For some, you're already a believer, but you haven't shared your faith in a long time, if ever. And you've given every kind of excuse in the world. And I can tell you, excuses stink. God requires us to share our faith, whether we're a student or beyond. The simple truth was, these men were released, but they went through that valley, they went through that difficult time, I believe, so that one man and his family would be saved. Maybe you've gone through a valley, and you can reach one person for Christ. That one person matters to Christ. So after I pray, you'll pray with me. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly. Let's pray together. Our Lord in heaven, I do pray that this very moment you would speak to hearts. Thank you, dear God, for their attentiveness in this audience. I pray for that one man, that one woman, a student who needs to be saved today. Life is too short to gamble with their soul. So I pray that today would be the day they get saved and give their life to Jesus. And that you would come in their heart and they would find that joy just like the jailer found joy. And I pray for each of our fellow believers. Some are going through a very difficult time, some worse than others. But it does not take away the fact that we're still to live for you, to live for Jesus, and to share Jesus, even in our difficult days. Help us, O God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.